knots in the wood walls, and the faces he always made them into in his mind stared back. The door to the front room stood shut. A chair waited next to the bed, empty. He sat up, pushing the covers down, and saw that he still wore his dirty clothes. He felt for the tooth under his shirt and sighed in relief when he found it still there, safe. A short stick held the window open a few inches, letting in fresh air and the sound of Kalin's laughter. Zed must be telling stories, he thought. Richard looked at his left hand. It was wrapped, but no longer sore when he flexed his fingers. His head didn't hurt any more either. In fact, he felt wonderful. Hungry, but wonderful. He amended that to dirty in filthy clothes, and hungry, but wonderful. A tub of bathwater, soap, and clean towels sat in the center of the small room. A clean outfit of his forest garb was folded and stacked neatly on the chair. The bathwater looked deliciously inviting. He dipped his hand in and found the water warm. Zed must have known when he would wake. Knowing Zed as well as he did, that didn't surprise him. Richard undressed and slipped into the welcoming water. The soap smelled almost as good to him as the soup. He liked to stay in the tub for a good long soak, but he felt too wide awake for soaking and was eager to be outside with the other two. Unwrapping the hand, he was surprised to find how much it had healed overnight. When he came out, Kalin and Zed were sitting at the table waiting for him. Kalin's dress was freshly washed, he noticed, and she looked bathed, too. Her hair was clean and glistened in the sunlight. Green eyes sparkled up at him. A big bowl of soup waited for him next to her at the table, along with cheese and fresh bread. "I wouldn't have expected to have slept until noon," he said, swinging his leg over the bench. They both laughed. Richard eyed them suspiciously. Kalin straightened her face. "This is the second noon you have slept to, Richard."
"Yes," Zed added. "You slept right through the first. How do you feel? How's your hand?"
"Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, Zed, for helping me. Thank you both." He opened and closed his fingers to show them the improvement. "The hand feels much better, except it itches. My mother always said that if it itched, that meant it was getting better." Richard grinned at her. "Mine too." He fished a piece of potato and a mushroom into his spoon and tasted it. "It's as good as mine," he said to her earnestly. She sat crosswise on the bench, facing toward him, her elbow resting on the table with the side of her jaw nestled in the heel of her hand. She gave him a knowing smile. "Zed tells it differently." Richard cast a reproachful eye at Zed, who looked up at the sky in an exaggerated manner. "Does he now? I will have to remind him of that the next time he is begging me to make it for him." "Frankly," she said in a low voice, but not low enough that Zed couldn't hear. "From what I've seen, I think he would eat dirt if someone else dished it up for him." Richard laughed. "I see you've gotten to know him well."
"I tell you, Richard," the old man said, pointing a bony finger, not about to let them get the best of him, "she could make dirt taste good. You would do well to take lessons from her."
Richard broke off a piece of bread and dunked it in the soup. He knew the joking was a release for the tension he sensed, a way to pass the time while they both waited for him to finish. Kalin had given Richard her word that she would wait for him to ask Zed's help. It was apparent that she had kept her word. And Zed's way was to play ignorant and innocent, and wait for you to ask something first so he could better judge what you already knew. This day, Richard could not allow any of his games. This day, things were different.
"There is one thing I don't trust about her, though."
Zed's tone was dark, menacing. Richard froze in mid-chew. He swallowed and waited, not daring to look at either of them, while the other paused.
"She doesn't like cheese. I don't think I could ever trust anyone who doesn't like cheese. It's not natural."
Richard relaxed. Zed was just twiddling with his mind, as he always called it. His old friend seemed to have a knack for catching him off guard, and he delighted in it.
Richard stole a glance at Zed to see him sitting there with an innocent smile on his face. Richard smiled, too, in spite of himself. While he relished the bowl of soup, Zed nibbled on a piece of cheese to make his point. Kaylin nibbled on a piece of bread to make hers. The bread tasted delicious. Kaylin was pleased when he pointed it out. As Richard neared the end of his meal, he decided it was time to change the tone of things back to business. "The next quad. Has there been any sign?" "No. I was worried, but Zed did a cloud reading for me and said it appeared they must have run into trouble of some kind, since they were nowhere to be found." He gave Zed a sideways glance. "Is that true?"
"True as toasted toads."
Zed had used the expression since Richard was young, to win him over with humor and let him know he could always trust the old man to be truthful with him above all else. Richard wondered what sort of trouble a quad could run into. For better or worse, he had succeeded in changing the mood at the table. He felt Kaylin's impatience for him to get on with it, and he sensed impatience in Zed, too. Kaylin turned back to the table and put both hands in her lap, waiting. Richard feared that if he didn't handle things properly, she would do whatever it was she was here to do, and he would have no control over it. Richard finished his meal and pushed the bowl away with his thumbs, at the same time meeting Zed's eyes. His friend's humor was gone, but otherwise he showed nothing of what he was thinking. He simply waited. It was Richard's turn now, and once he began there could be no going back. "Zed, my friend, we need your help to stop Darkon Rall."
"I know. You want me to find the wizard for you?"
"No, that won't be necessary. I have already found him." Richard felt Kaylin's questioning eyes on him, but he continued to fix his gaze on Zed. "You are the great wizard." Kaylin began to rise from the bench. Without taking his eyes from Zed, Richard reached under the table and clutched her forearm, forcing her to sit back down. Still, Zed showed no emotion. His voice came even and soft.
"And what makes you think this, Richard?"
Richard took a deep breath, letting it out slowly as he put his hands on the table, intertwining his fingers. He watched his hands as he spoke. "When Kaylin first told me about the history of the Three Lands, she said the Council had taken actions that made the death of the wizard's wife and daughter at the hands of a quad stand for nothing. And as punishment, the wizard did the worst thing possible to them. He left them to suffer the consequences of their own actions." "That sounded like the very thing you would do. But I couldn't be sure then. I had to find a way to know. When you first saw Kaylin, and were angry that she had come here from the Midlands, I told you she had been attacked by a quad. I watched your eyes. They told me I was right. Only someone who had suffered a loss like yours would have had that look in his eyes. And you changed your attitude toward her after I told you. Completely. Only someone who had known the terror personally would have that kind of empathy. But still, I didn't trust my instinct. I waited." He looked up at Zed and held the other's gaze while he spoke. "Your biggest mistake was when you told Kaylin she was safe here. You would not lie, especially about something like that. And you know what a quad is. How could an old man make it safe here, against a quad, without magic? He couldn't. But one old wizard could. The next quad is nowhere to be found, you said so yourself. They ran into some trouble. I think they ran into some wizard trouble. You were as good as your word. You always are." Richard's voice turned gentler. "I have always known in a thousand little ways that you were more than you claimed to be, that you were a special person. I have always been honored to have you as my friend. And I know that as my friend, you would do anything, anything you must, to help me if my life were in danger. Just as I would do anything for you. I trust you with my life, and it is now in your hands." Richard hated closing the trap in this fashion, but all their lives were at risk. There could be no games. Zed put his hands on the table and leaned forward.
"I have never before been this proud of you, Richard."
His eyes told that he meant it.
"You got it all right."
He stood and came around the table. When Richard stood, they hugged.
"I have also never been this sad for you."
Zed held Richard in a tight embrace for a moment longer.
"Sit. I will be right back. I have something for you. Both of you sit and wait a moment."
Zed cleared the table. Then, holding the plates in the crook of his arm, he strode to the house. Kaylin looked worried as she watched him go. Richard had thought that she would be happy to have found the wizard, but now she looked more frightened than anything else. Things were going differently from what he had expected. When Zed reappeared, he was carrying something long. Kaylin came to her feet. Richard realized Zed's fist clutched the scabbard of a sword. Kaylin put herself in front of him before he reached the table, grabbing fistfuls of his robes. "Don't do this, Zed," her voice was desperate.
"It is not my choice."
"Zed, please, no. Choose someone else, not Richard." Zed cut her off.
"Kaylin, I warned you about this. I told you he picks himself. If I choose someone other than the true one, we all die. If you have a better way, put words to it."
He swept her aside, came to the side of the table opposite Richard, and slammed the sword down in front of him. Richard jumped. He looked from the sword up into Zed's fierce eyes as the other leaned over the table.
"This belongs to you," the wizard said.
Kaylin turned her back to them. Richard's gaze fell upon the sword. The silver scabbard gleamed with gold flourishes that embellished it in sweeps and waves. Steel crossguards swept out and down aggressively. Finely twisted silver wire covered the grip, and interwoven along the side of the braided silver, gold wire formed the word truth. This, Richard thought, was the sword of a king. It was the finest weapon he had ever seen. Slowly he rose to his feet. Zed picked up the scabbard by the point and held the hilt of the sword to Richard.
"Draw it."
As if in a trance, Richard closed his fingers around the hilt and pulled the sword free, the blade making a ringing metallic sound that hung in the air. Richard had never heard a sword make a sound quite like it. His hand closed tightly around the grip, and in his palm and on his fingers opposite, he could feel the bumps of the gold wire that spelled out the word truth on each side of the hilt, pressing almost painfully into his flesh. Inexplicably, it felt precisely correct. The weight fit him exactly. He felt as if a part of him was now complete. From deep within, he felt his anger stir, brought to life, searching direction. He was suddenly aware of the tooth against his chest. As his rage rose, he felt an awakening power rushing into him from the sword, the twin to his own anger. His own feelings had always seemed independent, whole. This was like having an image in a mirror come to life. It was a terrifying specter. His anger fed on the force from the sword, and in return, the wrath from the sword fed on his anger. Together, the twin storm spiraled through him. He felt like a helpless bystander being dragged along. It was a frightening and at the same time seductive sensation that bordered on violation. Fearful perceptions of his own anger twisted with tantalizing promise. The bewitching emotions rushed headlong through him, seizing his anger, soaring with it. Richard struggled to control the rage. He was on the brink of panic, on the brink of abandon. Zedekah Zul Zorander threw his head back and spread his arms.
To the sky he called out, "Fair warning to those living and those dead! The Seeker is named!"
Thunder from the blue sky shook the ground and rolled off toward the boundary. Kaylin fell to her knees in front of Richard, head bowed, hands held behind her back. I pledge my life in the defense of the Seeker.
Zed knelt beside her, his head bowed.
I pledge my life in the defense of the Seeker.
Richard stood gripping the Sword of Truth in his hand, eyes wide in breathless bewilderment.
Zed, he whispered, what in the name of everything good is a Seeker?
Chapter 9. With the aid of a hand to his knees, Zed rose to his feet, rearranged his robes around his bony body, and held his hand out to Kaelin, who was staring at the ground. Noticing the hand, she took it, coming to her feet as well. Her face bore a distressed expression. Zed considered her for a moment, and she nodded that she was all right. Zed turned to Richard.
What is a Seeker? A wise first question in your new capacity, but not one swiftly answered.
Richard gazed down at the gleaming sword in his hand, not at all sure he wanted anything to do with it. He slid it back into its scabbard, glad to be free of the feelings it invoked, and held it in both hands before him.
Zed, I've never seen this before. Where have you kept it?
Zed smiled proudly.
In the cabinet, in the house.
Richard eyed him skeptically. There's nothing in the cabinet but dishes and pans and your powders.
Not that cabinet, he said, lowering his voice as if to thwart anyone who might be listening. In my wizard's cabinet.
Richard straightened with a frown.
I've never seen any other cabinet. Bags, Richard, you're not supposed to see it. It's a wizard's cabinet. It's invisible.
Richard felt more than a little stupid. And how long have you had this?
Oh, I don't know, maybe a dozen years or so.
Zed swept his slender hand in the air as if trying to brush the question away. And how did you come to have it?
Zed's tone hardened.
The naming of the Seeker is a wizard's task. The High Council wrongly took it upon itself to name the person. They didn't care anything about finding the right person. They gave the post to whoever suited them at the time, or whoever offered the most. The sword belongs to the Seeker as long as he is alive, or as long as he chooses to be Seeker. In between, while a new Seeker is sought, the Sword of Truth belongs to the wizards, or more precisely, it belongs to me, as naming Seekers is my responsibility. The last fellow who had it became...
His eyes turned up as if searching the sky for the right word.
Entangled with a witch-woman. So, while he was distracted, I went into the Midlands and retrieved what is mine. Now it is yours.
Richard felt himself being drawn into something not of his own choosing. He looked to Kaelin. She seemed to have shed her anguish and was unreadable again.
This is what you came here for? This is what you wanted the wizard to do?
Richard, I wanted the wizard to name a Seeker. I did not know it would be you. He was beginning to feel trapped as he looked from one to the other.
You two think I can somehow save us. That's what you both are thinking, that somehow I'm to stop Dark and Rawl. A wizard can't do it, but I'm to try?
Terror rose with his heart into his throat. Zed came and put a reassuring arm around his shoulder.
Richard, look up in the sky. Tell me what you see.
Richard looked and saw the snake-like cloud. He didn't need to answer the question. Zed pressed his strong, bony fingers into Richard's flesh.
Come, sit, and I will tell you what you need to know. Then you decide for yourself what it is you will do. Come.
He put his other arm around Kaelin's shoulder and guided them both to the bench at the table. He went to his place opposite them and sat. Richard laid the sword on the table between them to signify that the matter was yet to be decided. Zed pushed his sleeves up his arms a little.
There is a magic, he began, an ancient and dangerous magic of immense power. It's a magic spawned from the earth, from life itself. It is held in three vessels called the Three Boxes of Odin. The magic is dormant until the boxes are put into play,
as it is called. To do so is not easy. It requires a person who has knowledge gained from long scholarship and who can call upon considerable power of his own. Once a person has at least one of the boxes, the magic of Orden can be put in play. He then has 1 year from that time to open a box, but he must have all three before any will open. They work together. You can't simply have one and open it. If the person who puts them in play fails to acquire all three and to open one within the allotted time, he forfeits his life to the magic. There is no going back. Dark and Rawl must open one of the boxes or die. On the first day of winter, his year is up.
Zed's face was tight with hard wrinkles and determination. He leaned forward a little.
Each box holds a different power, which is released upon its opening. If Rawl opens the correct one, he gains the magic of Orden, the magic of life itself, power over all things, living and dead. He will have unchallenged power and authority. He will be a master with immutable dominion over all people. Anyone he doesn't like, he will be able to kill with a thought, in any manner of his choosing, wherever that person is, no matter how far away.
Sounds like a terribly evil magic, Richard said.
Zed leaned back, taking his hands from the table.
He shook his head.
No, not really. The magic of Orden is the power of life. Like all power, it simply exists. It's the user who determines what use it will be put to. The magic of Orden can just as easily be used to help crops grow, to heal the sick, to end conflict. It's all in what the user wants. The power is neither evil nor good. It simply exists. It is up to the mind of man to put it to use. I think we all know which use Dark and Rawl would choose.
Zed paused, as was his way, to let Richard ponder the meaning of what he had been told. His thin face fixed in resolve as he waited. Kaelin, too, had a look that told him she was determined to have him fully understand the ominous nature of what Zed was saying. Richard, of course, didn't need to ponder it, since he knew it all from the Book of Counted Shadows. The book was explicit. From the book, he knew Zed was barely touching on the full extent of the cataclysm that would sweep the land if Dark and Rawl opened the correct box. He knew also what would happen if one of the other boxes was opened, but he couldn't reveal his foreknowledge, and so had to ask anyway.
And if he opens one of the others?
Zed came forward against the table in a blink. He had expected that this would be the next question.
Open the wrong box, and the magic claims him. He's dead.
Zed snapped his fingers.
Just like that. We're all safe. The threat is removed.
He leaned closer, his brow furrowed, and gave Richard a hard look.
Open the other wrong box, and every bug, every blade of grass, every tree, every man, woman, and child, every living thing is incinerated into nothingness. It would be the end of all life. The magic of Orden is twin to the magic of life itself, and death is part of everything that lives. So the magic of Orden is tied to death, as well as life.
Zed sat back, seeming to be overwhelmed by the telling of the choices of catastrophe. Though Richard already knew it all, he still swallowed hard at hearing it out loud. Somehow it seemed more real to him like this, more real when there was a name put to it. When he had learned the book, it was all so abstract, so hypothetical, that he had never given any thought to the possibility that it would come to pass. His only concern had been that the knowledge be preserved so as to be returned to its keeper. He wished he could tell Zed what he knew, but his oath to his father prevented him from saying anything. It also required him to keep up the pretense by asking another question to which he already knew the answer. How will Rawl know which box to open? Zed rearranged the sleeves of his robes and looked down at the table, watching his hands as he spoke.
Putting the boxes in play imparts to the person certain privileged information. It must be that this information tells him how he can discover which box is which.
That made sense. No one knew of the book but its keeper, and, it appeared, the person who put the boxes in play. The book made no reference to this, but it seemed logical. A sudden jolt went through him. Darken Rawl must be after him for the book. He almost didn't hear Zed beginning to speak again.
Rawl has done something out of the ordinary, though. He has put the boxes in play before he has all three.
Richard came to attention immediately. He must be stupid, or very confident.
Confident, the wizard said. When I left the Midlands, it was for two main reasons. The first was because the High Council took the naming of the Seeker upon itself. The second was because they mishandled the boxes of Warden. People had come to believe that the power of the boxes was just a legend. They thought me an old fool for telling them it was no legend but the truth. They refused to heed my warnings. He pounded his fist down on the table, causing Caelan to jump. They laughed at me! His face was red with anger, making it stand out all the more against the mass of his white hair. I wanted the boxes kept far apart from each other, and with magic hidden and locked away so as to never be found again. The council, instead, wanted them given to important people, like trophies to be shown off. They used them as payments for favors or promises. This exposed the boxes to covetous hands. I don't know what happened to them in the intervening years. Rawl has at least one, but not all three. Not yet, anyway.
Zed's eyes flashed with fervor.
Do you see, Richard? We don't have to go up against Darken Rawl. We have only to find at least one of the boxes before he does.
And keep it from him, which may prove considerably harder than finding it, Richard pointed out, letting the words hang in the air a moment. He had a sudden thought. Zed, do you think one of the boxes could be here in Westland?
Not likely.
Why not?
Zed hesitated. Richard, I never told you I was a wizard, but you never asked before, so I didn't really lie about it. I did tell you one lie, though. I told you I came here before the boundary went up. In reality, I didn't come here before it went up, because I couldn't. You see, in order to create a Westland free of magic, there could be none here when the boundary went up. Magic could come here after the boundary was established, but not be here before. Since I have magic, my presence would have prevented it from happening, so I had to stay in the Midlands until after, and only then was I able to come through.
Everyone has their little secrets. I don't begrudge you yours. But what's your point?
My point is, we know none of the boxes could have been here before the boundary went up, or their magic would have prevented it. So if they were all in the Midlands before the boundary, because of the magic, and I didn't bring one with me, they have to still be in the Midlands.
Richard thought about this a while, feeling his spark of hope die. He turned his thoughts back to the matter at hand. You still have not told me what a seeker is, or my part in this. Zed folded his hands together.
A seeker is a person who answers to no one but himself. He is a law unto himself. The sword of truth is his to wield as he wishes, and within the limits of his own strength, he can hold anyone to answer for anything.
Zed held up his hand to forestall Richard's objections and questions.
I realize this is vague. The problem with explaining it is that it is like all power. As I told you before, it's how the person uses power that makes it what it is. This is the core of why it is so important to find the right person, a person who will use the power wisely. You see, Richard, a seeker does exactly as the name implies. He seeks. He seeks the answers to things. Things of his own choosing. If he is the right person, he will seek the answers that will help others, not just himself. The whole purpose of a seeker is to be free to quest on his own, to go where he wants, ask what he wants, learn what he wants, find answers to what he wants to know, and if need be, do whatever it is the answers demand."
Richard straightened, his voice rising.
"Are you telling me a seeker is an assassin?"
"I won't lie to you, Richard. There have been times when it has turned out that way." Richard's face was crimson.
"I will not be an assassin!"
Zed shrugged.
"As I said, a seeker is whatever he wants. Ideally, a seeker is the standard-bearer of justice. I can't tell you much more, because I've never been one. I don't know what goes on in their heads. However, I know the proper kind of person."
Zed pushed his sleeves up again while he watched Richard.
"But I don't pick a seeker, Richard. A true seeker picks himself. I only name them. You have been a seeker for years without knowing it. I have watched you, and that is what you do. You are always seeking the truth. What do you think you were doing in the High Ven? You were seeking the answer to the vine, to your father's murder. You could have left that to others, others more qualified, and, as it turned out, perhaps you should have. But that would have been against your nature, the nature of a seeker. They don't leave it to others, because they want to know for themselves. When Kaelin told you she was looking for a wizard who was lost since before she was born, you had to know who it was, and you found him. But that's only because—"
Zed cut him off. "It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Only one thing matters, that you did it. I saved you with the root I found. Does it matter that it was easy for me to find the root? No. Would you be any more alive if it had been extremely difficult for me to find the root? No. I found the root, you are well. That is all that matters. Same with the seeker. It's of no importance how he finds an answer, only that he does. As I said, there are no rules. Right now, there are answers you must find. I don't know how you will do so, and I don't care, only that you do. If you say, 'Oh, that's simple,' all the better, as we don't have much time."
Richard's guard went up.
"What answers?" Zed smiled, and his eyes sparkled.
"I have a plan, but you must first find a way to get us across the boundary."
"What?" Richard ran his fingers through his hair in exasperation, muttering his disbelief under his breath. He looked back to Zed.
"You're a wizard. You had something to do with putting the boundary there in the first place. You have just said you have been through it to retrieve the sword. Kaelin has come through the boundary, sent by wizards.
I know nothing of the boundary. If you expect me to find you the answer, well, here it is. Zed, you are a wizard. Send us through the boundary."
Zed shook his head. "No, I said across the boundary, not through it. I know how to go through it, but we can't do that. Rahl waits for us to do so. If we try to go through, he will kill us, if we are lucky. We must instead go across it, without going through it. There is a big difference."
"Zed, I'm sorry, but it's impossible. I don't know anything about how to get us across. I don't see how it can be done. The boundary is the underworld. If we can't go through it, then we are stuck here. The whole purpose of the boundary is to prevent anyone from doing just what you are asking me to do."
Richard felt helpless. They were depending on him, and he didn't have any answers.
Zed's voice was kind and gentle.
"Richard, you are too quick to criticize yourself. What is it you say when I ask how you must solve difficult problems?"
Richard knew what Zed was talking about, but was reluctant to answer, as he felt answering only pulled him in deeper. Zed lifted an eyebrow, waiting. Richard looked down at the table, picking at the wood with his thumbnail.
"Think of the solution, not the problem. And right now you are doing it backwards. You are only concentrating on why the problem is impossible. You are not thinking of the solution."
Richard knew Zed was right, but there was more to it.
"Zed, I don't think I'm qualified to be seeker. I don't know anything about the Midlands. Sometimes it is easier to make a decision if you aren't burdened with a knowledge of history,
the wizard said cryptically. Richard let out a deep breath.
I don't know the place. I'd be lost there.
Kaelin put her hand on his forearm. No, you wouldn't. I know the Midlands better than almost anyone. I know where it is safe and where it is not. I'll be your guide. You will not be lost. I promise you that much.
Richard looked away from her green eyes and down at the table. It hurt to think that he might disappoint her. But her faith and Zed's didn't seem justified. He didn't know anything about the Midlands, or the magic, or how to find some boxes, or how to stop Darkon Rall. He didn't know how to do any of it. And for his first trick, he was supposed to get them across the boundary.
Richard, I know you think I'm thrusting this responsibility on you unwisely, but it is not me who chooses you. You are the one who has shown himself to be the Seeker. I have only recognized the fact.
I have been a wizard a long time. You don't know what that entails, but you have to trust me when I say that I'm qualified to recognize the One.
Zed reached across the table, across the sword, and put his hand on Richard's. His eyes were somber.
Darkon Rall hunts you. Personally. The only reason I can fathom for this is that with the insight he has gained from the magic of Warden, he too knows you to be the One, and so searches you out to eliminate the threat.
Richard blinked in surprise. Maybe Zed was right. Maybe this was the reason Rall hunted him. Or maybe not.
Zed didn't know about the book. He felt as if his mind would explode with all the things filling his head, and suddenly he couldn't sit anymore. He stood up and began pacing, thinking.
Zed folded his arms across his chest. Kaelin leaned an elbow on the table. Both watched in silence as he paced. The wisp had said to seek the answer or die. It didn't say it was necessary to become this seeker. He could find the answers in his own way, as he always had. He hadn't needed the sword to figure out who the wizard was, although it hadn't been that hard. But what was wrong with taking the sword? What could it hurt to have its help? Wouldn't it be foolish to turn down any assistance? Apparently the sword could be put to any use its owner wanted, so why not use it in the way he wanted? He didn't have to become an assassin, or anything else. He could use it to help them, that was all. That was all that was needed, or wanted, no more.
But Richard knew why he didn't want it. He didn't like the way it had felt when he had drawn the sword. It had felt good, and that bothered him. It had stirred his anger in a way that frightened him, made him feel like he had never felt before. The most disconcerting thing was that it felt right. He didn't want to feel right about anger, didn't want to lose his control of it. Anger was wrong. That's what his father had taught him. Anger had killed his mother. He kept his anger behind a locked door he didn't want opened. No, he would do this in his own way, without the sword. He didn't need it, didn't need the worry of it.
Richard turned to Zed, who still sat with his arms folded across his chest, watching. The sunlight gave Zed's wrinkles deep shadows. The lines and sharp angles of his familiar face seemed somehow different. He looked grim, resolute, somehow more like a wizard. Their eyes met and held each other. Richard was decided. He would tell his friend no. He would help, and would stand by them. His life, too, depended on this, but he would not be the Seeker. Before he could say so, Zed spoke.
Kaelin, tell Richard how Darkon Rall questions people.
His voice was quiet, calm. He didn't look at her, instead continuing to hold Richard's eyes. Her voice was barely audible.
Zed, please. Tell him.
This time his voice was harder, more forceful.
Tell him what he does with the curved knife he keeps at his belt.
Richard looked away from Zed's eyes to her pale face. After a moment she held out her hand and looked up at him with sad green eyes, beckoning him to come to her. He stood a moment, wary, then came and took her hand. She pulled him down toward her. He sat, straddling the bench, facing her, waiting for what it was she was bidden to say, fearing it. Kaelin shifted toward him, hooking some hair behind an ear, and looked down at his right hand as she held it in both of hers, stroking the back of it with her thumbs. Her fingers were gentle, soft and warm against his palm. The size of her hands made his seem awkwardly large. She spoke quietly and didn't look up. Darkenrall is a practitioner of an ancient form of magic called anthropomancy. He divines the answers to questions by the inspection of living human entrails. Richard felt his anger ignite. It's of limited use. He can at most get a yes or no to a single question, and sometimes a name. Nonetheless, he continues to favor its use. I'm sorry, Richard. Please forgive me for telling you this. Memories of his father's kindness, his laughter, his love, his friendship, their time together with the secret book, and a thousand other brief glimpses tore through him in a flood of anguish. The scenes and sounds converged into dim shadows and hollow echoes in Richard's mind and melted away. In its place, memories of the bloodstains on the floor, the white faces of the people there, images of his father's pain and terror, and the things Chase had told him flashed vividly in snatches through his mind. He didn't try to stop them, but instead pulled them onward, hungering for them. He washed himself in the detail of it all, felt the twisting torment. Pain flared up from a pit deep inside him. Invoked heedlessly, it came screaming forth. In his mind he added the shadowed figure of Darkenrall, hands dripping crimson blood, standing over his father's body, holding the red, glinting blade. He held the vision before him, twisting it, inspecting it, drinking it into his soul. The picture was complete now. He had his answers. He knew how it had been, how his father had died. Until now that was all he had ever sought, answers. In his whole life, he had never gone beyond that simple quest. In one white-hot instant, that changed. The door that held back his anger and the wall of reason containing his temper burned away in a flash of hot desire. A lifetime of rational thinking evaporated before his searing fury. Lucidity became dross in a cauldron of molten need. Richard reached out to the Sword of Truth, curled his fingers around the scabbard, gripping it tighter and tighter until his knuckles were white. The muscles in his jaw flexed. His breathing came fast and sharp. He saw nothing else of what was around him. The heat of anger surged forth from the sword, not of its own volition, but summoned by the Seeker. Richard's chest heaved with a burning hurt of his grief at knowing now what had happened to his father, and with that knowledge there was closure, too. Thoughts he had never permitted himself to have became his only desire. Caution and consequence vanished before a flood of lust for vengeance. In that instant, his only want, his only desire, his only need was to kill Darkenrall. Nothing else had any significance. With his other hand he reached out and seized the hilt of his sword to pull it free. Zed's hand clamped down over his. The Seeker's eyes snapped up, livid at the interference.
"Richard!"
Zed's voice was gentle. "Calm down." The Seeker, his muscles flexing powerfully, glowered into the other's tranquil eyes. Some part of him, deep in the back of his mind, kept warning him, trying to regain control. He ignored the warning. He bent over the table to the wizard, his teeth gritted. "I accept the position of Seeker." "Richard," Zed repeated calmly.
It's all right. Relax. Sit down. The world came rushing back into his mind. He pulled his readiness to kill back a notch, but not his rage. Not only the door, but also the wall that had contained his anger was gone. Even though the world about him had returned, it was a world seen through different eyes. Eyes he had always had, but had been afraid to use. The eyes of a seeker. Richard realized that he was standing. He didn't remember getting up. He sat again next to Kaelin, removing his hands from the sword. Something inside him regained control of his anger. It wasn't the same as before, though. It didn't shut it away, didn't lock it behind a door, but pulled it back, unafraid, to make it ready when needed again. Some of his old self seeped back into his mind, calming him, slowing his breathing, reasoning within him. He felt liberated, unafraid, unashamed of his temper for the first time. He allowed himself to sit there while he uncoiled, feeling his muscles relax. He looked up into Zed's calm, undisturbed face. The old man, his thatch of white hair framing an angular face set in a perceptive cast, studied him, assessed him with the slightest hint of a smile fixed at the corners of his thin mouth.
"Congratulations," the wizard said. "You have passed my final test to become Seeker."
Richard pulled back in confusion. "What do you mean? You already appointed me Seeker."
Zed shook his head slowly.
"I told you before, weren't you listening? A Seeker appoints himself. Before you could become Seeker, you had to pass one determinative test. You had to show me you could use all your mind. For many years, Richard, you have kept part of it locked away. Your anger. I had to know you could release it, call upon it. I've seen you angry, but you were unable to admit your anger to yourself. A seeker who couldn't allow himself to use his anger would be hopelessly weak. It is the strength of rage that gives the heedless drive to prevail. Without the anger, you would have turned down the sword and I would have let you, because you wouldn't have had what was required. But that is irrelevant now. You have proven you are no longer a prisoner to your fears. Be cautioned, though. As important as it is to be able to use your rage, it is equally important to be able to restrain it. You have always had that ability. Don't let yourself lose it now. You must be wise enough to know which path to choose. Sometimes letting out the anger is an even more grievous mistake than holding it in."
Richard nodded solemnly. He thought about the way it felt to hold the sword when he was in the rage, the way he felt its power, the liberating sensation of giving himself over to the primal urge from within himself and from the sword.
"The sword has magic," he said guardedly. "I felt it."
"It does. But, Richard, magic is only a tool, like any other. When you use a whetstone to sharpen a knife, you are simply making the knife work better for its intended purpose. Same way with the magic. It's just a honing of the intent."
Zed's eyes were clear and sharp.
"Some people are more terrified to die by magic than, say, by a blade, as if somehow one is less dead if killed by a blow or cut than if killed by the unseen. But listen well. Dead is dead. The fear of magic, though, can be a powerful weapon. Keep that in mind."
Richard nodded. The late afternoon sun warmed his face, and out of the corner of his eye he could see the cloud. Rawl would be watching it, too. Richard remembered the man from the quad, on Blunt Cliff, how he had pulled his sword across his arm, drawing blood before he attacked. He remembered the look in the man's eyes. He hadn't understood it at the time. He understood it now. Richard hungered for the fight. The leaves of the nearby trees fluttered in the light autumn wind, glimmering with their first touches of gold and red.
Winter was coming. The first day of winter would soon be here. He thought about how he would get them across the boundary. They had to get one of the boxes of Ordon, and when they found it, they would find Rahl.
Zed, no more games. I am Seeker now. No more tests. True?
True as toasted toads.
Then we are wasting our time. I am sure Rahl is not wasting his.
He turned to Kaelin. I hold you to your pledge to be my guide when we reach the Midlands. She smiled at his impatience and nodded.
Richard turned to Zed. Show me how the magic works, wizard.
Chapter 10
Zed's impish smile spread across his face. He handed Richard the baldric. The finely tooled leather was old and supple. The gold and silver buckle matched the scabbard. It was adjusted too small, its last user having been smaller than Richard. Zed helped readjust it as Richard strapped it across his right shoulder and fit the Sword of Truth to it. Zed led them to the edge of the grass, amid long shadows stretching from the nearby trees, to where two small rock maples grew, one as thick as Richard's wrist, the other as thin as Kaelin's. He turned to Richard.
Draw the sword.
The unique, ringing, metallic sound filled the late afternoon air as the sword came free. Zed leaned closer.
Now I will show you the most important thing about the sword, but to do so I need you to briefly abdicate your post as Seeker, and allow me to name Kaelin Seeker.
Kaelin gave Zed a suspicious glare. I don't want to be Seeker.
Just for the purpose of demonstration, dear one.
He motioned for Richard to give her the sword. She hesitated before taking it in both hands. The weight was uncomfortable, and she allowed the point to lower until it rested on the grassy ground. Zed waved his hands over her head with a flourish.
Kaelin Amnell, I name you Seeker.
She continued to give him the same suspicious stare. Zed put his finger under her chin, tilting her head up. His eyes had a fierce intensity. He put his face close to hers, speaking in a low voice.
When I left the Midlands with this sword, Darken Rahl used his magic to place the larger of these two trees here, to mark me, to be able to come for me at a time of his choosing, so he could kill me. The same Darken Rahl who had Denis killed.
Her countenance became darker.
The same Darken Rahl who hunts you to kill you like he killed your sister.
Hate flared in her eyes. Her teeth clenched, making the muscles in her strong jawline stand out. The Sword of Truth rose from the ground. Zed stepped behind her.
This tree is his. You must stop him.
The blade flashed through the autumn air with speed and power Richard could scarcely believe. The arc of its sweep went through the larger tree with a loud crack, like a thousand twigs snapping at once. Splinters flew everywhere. The tree seemed to hang in the air a moment, then drop down next to the ragged stump before toppling over with a crash. Richard knew it would have taken him at least 10 blows with a good axe to have felled the maple. Zed slipped the sword from Kaelin's hands as she sank to her knees and rocked back on her heels, putting her hands over her face with a moan. Instantly Richard crouched at her side, steadying her. Kaelin, what's wrong?
I'm all right.
She laid a hand on his shoulder as he helped her to her feet. Her face was pale as she forced a small smile.
But I resign my post as Seeker.
Richard spun to the wizard. Zen, what is this nonsense? Darken Rahl didn't put that tree there. I've seen you water and care for those two trees. If you held a knife to my throat, I'd say you planted them there as a memorial to your wife and daughter.
Zed gave only a small smile. Very good, Richard. Here is your sword. You are Seeker again. Now, my boy, you cut down the little tree, and then I will explain.
Annoyed, Richard took the sword in both hands, feeling the anger surge through him. He gave a mighty swing at the remaining tree.
The tip of the blade whistled as it sliced through the air. Just before the blade hit the tree, it simply stopped, as if the very air about it had become too thick to allow it to pass. Richard stepped back in surprise. He looked at the sword, and then tried again. Same thing. The tree was untouched. He glared over at Zed, who stood with his arms folded and a smirk on his face. Richard slid the sword back into its scabbard. All right, what's going on? Zed lifted his eyebrows with an innocent expression.
Did you see how easily Kalin cut through the bigger tree?
Richard frowned. Zed smiled.
It could just as well have been iron. The blade would have cut through it the same. But you are stronger than she, and you couldn't even scratch the smaller tree.
Yes, Zed, I noticed. Zed's brow wrinkled in mock bewilderment.
And why do you think that is?
Richard's irritation melted. This was the way Zed often taught lessons, by making him come up with the answer on his own. I would say it has something to do with intent. She thought the tree was evil. I didn't. Zed held up a bony finger.
Very good, my boy.
Kalin knitted her fingers together. Zed, I don't understand. I destroyed the tree, but it wasn't evil. It was innocent.
That, dear one, is the point of the demonstration. Reality isn't relevant. Perception is everything. If you think it is the enemy, you can destroy it, whether true or not. The magic interprets only your perception. It won't allow you to harm someone you think innocent, but it will destroy whoever you perceive to be the enemy, within limits. Only what you believe, and not the truth of your thoughts, is the determining factor.
Richard was a little overwhelmed. That leaves no room for error. But what if you aren't sure? Zed lifted an eyebrow.
You had better be sure, my boy, or you are liable to find yourself in a lot of trouble. The magic could read things in your mind you are not even aware of. It could go either way. You could kill a friend or fail to kill a foe.
Richard drummed his fingers on the hilt of the sword, thinking. He watched the setting sun offer small golden flashes through the trees to the west. Overhead, the snake-like cloud had taken on a reddish cast on one side, deepening into darker purple on the other. It didn't really matter, he decided. He knew who he was after, and there was no doubt at all in his mind about him being the enemy. None whatsoever.
There's one more thing, one more important thing, the wizard said. When you use the sword against an enemy, there is a price to pay. Is that not true, dear one?
He looked to her. Kayla nodded and lowered her eyes to the ground.
The more powerful the enemy, the higher the price. I am sorry it was necessary to do that to you, Kalin, but it is the most important lesson Richard must learn.
She gave him a small smile, letting him know that she understood the need. He turned back to Richard.
We both know that sometimes killing is the only choice, that it has to be classified as the right thing to do. I know you do not need to be told that any time you kill, though, it is a terrible thing. You live with it always. And once done, it cannot be undone. You pay a price within yourself. It diminishes you for having done it.
Richard nodded. It still made him uneasy that he had killed the man on Blunt Cliff. He wasn't sorry about what he had done. He had had no time or other choice. But in his mind he still saw the man's face as he went over the edge. Zed's eyes became intense.
It is different when you kill with the Sword of Truth, because of the magic. The magic has done your bidding, and it extracts a price. There is no such thing as pure good or pure evil, least of all in people. In the best of us there are thoughts or deeds that are wicked, and in the worst of us, at least some virtue. An adversary is not one who does loathsome acts for their own sake. He always has a reason that to him is justification. My cat eats mice. Does that make him bad? I don't think so, and the cat doesn't think so. But I would bet the mice have a different opinion. Every murderer thinks the victim needed killing. I know you don't want to believe this, Richard, but you must listen.
Darkon Rawl does the things he does because he thinks them right, just as you do the things you do because you think them right. The two of you are more the same in that than you think. You want revenge on him for killing your father,